This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, it's Rich. Hope you enjoyed this podcast of the Zioli Show. And if you did, please rate it on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. You know what I'm saying? Thanks a lot.
The Rich Zioli Show Podcast.
First of all, let's clear up something before the show even begins. Craig Shirley, who is President Reagan's biographer, I think he's probably the most definitive writer of Reagan. President Reagan didn't have Alzheimer's while in office. I will share that with you. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. CBSPhilly.com/Rich and on Twitter at Rich Zioli. It has become sort of the it's like commonplace now, you know, to talk about Reagan's Alzheimer's, early onset dementia, Alzheimer's, and they act as if this is just, it's the way it is. Everybody knows. It's just what happened. He's had Alzheimer's. It affected his judgment. Not true. Craig Shirley, who has written so many books about President Reagan, I think his books are excellent. I've read all of them. Craig's been on the show. He's a friend, great guy. And if you are looking for a Reagan book, read his books, because he tells you the absolute truth of what happened. And he's got a piece at CNN, of all places. CNN.com. President Reagan didn't have Alzheimer's while in office. Only a few days into the new year, we've already learned much. Donald Trump is still president. He is, by all accounts, still sensitive to what irks him, and contrary to those who attempt to make a comparison, he is nothing like Ronald Reagan. From the way they govern, the way they communicate, there is nothing whatsoever similar about them. Our sense is that President Trump really does not invite, nor would especially accept or appreciate a comparison to any U.S. president to come before him, Reagan or otherwise. We've no doubt that, love him or leave him, in his view, Trump stands alone. But during President Trump's remarks in defense of his mental health status as a result of supposed revelations in Michael Wolff's book Fire and Fury, he mentioned that his critics are taking out the old Ronald Reagan playbook. What's most troubling about the look back in time is a historical rewrite where the record simply needs to be set straight. To wit, several commentators have their facts just plain wrong. They claim that in the late 1980s, while in office, Ronald Reagan had Alzheimer's disease. Some have reached back in time to grab headlines. Quote, is Reagan senile? Asked a May 1987 edition of the New Republic. Truth is, those headlines were ageist and not about the possibility that President Reagan had Alzheimer's, a condition not diagnosed or made public until 1994. Actually, ever since Ronald Reagan's first substantial run for president in 1976 at the age of 65, those opposed to Reagan labeled him as an old guy and proclaimed his age as a huge disadvantage compared to his opponents. Ageism is a real thing. You know, when people view people in their 60s, 70s, I mean, back then, 60s, 70s, now I'd say 70s and 80s because everybody's living longer. And they say, well, you know, clearly you can't do the job, and you're losing it because of your age. That's ageism. And it's every bit as wrong as racism or sexism or anything else. But this is the problem, though, right? They did this to Reagan. They're doing it to Trump. And the whole idea is that they're allowed to just make these claims, and nobody's allowed to correct them or check on them. It's just a fact. You know, well, it's early onset Alzheimer's. It's early onset dementia. And, of course, it's not accurate. I said this yesterday, too. If 12 senators during Obama's presidency had brought in a birth certificate expert to discuss where he was born, whether or not that was really Hawaii or not, everybody would have lost their minds. 12 senators, Democrats, United States senators, brought in a Yale psychiatry professor to assess the president's mental health, a person she's never even talked to, let alone diagnosed in her capacity as a fake psychiatrist. Back to the Reagan piece here for a second. Oh, but actually, before I get to that, this is what I said the other day on the show as well. They said Barry Goldwater was nuts. Barry Goldwater, I would say, is the father of modern conservatism, although modern conservatism is changing quite a bit. But let's say the libertarian conservatism that would give rise to Reagan's presidency, which is at the time when Barry Goldwater wrote his book, The Conscience of a Conservative, it was groundbreaking stuff. But when he ran for president in 1964, they portrayed him as a nut job who was going to destroy the world. A nut job who would destroy the world. When Reagan was president, when he was running for president in 1976 and 1979 into the 80 election, he was a nut job who was going to destroy the world. When Trump ran, nut job who's going to destroy the world. With George W. Bush, it was different. He wasn't a nut job. He was just dumb. Remember that? He was just a dummy. He just couldn't, you know, the guy could barely form a sentence. And so it wasn't that he was losing it. He just didn't have it to lose, was basically how they portrayed him. And of course, the exception is President George H.W. Bush, who sort of escaped all of that, at least initially. Towards the end of the presidency, he was just aloof. You know, he was just a guy who couldn't relate to people anymore, is what they said about him. Back to the piece. Reagan, ever since Reagan's first substantial run for president in 1976 at the age of 65, those opposed to Reagan label him as old. Of course, they'd say the same thing 4 years later when he won the White House and 4 years beyond that when he won a second term, both by landslides, in both the popular vote and the Electoral College. The vote margins were massive, among the biggest in American history, and no one ever claimed that he was an illegitimate president. It could be argued that this form of Reagan bashing has been given a boost by some books that are out there. Killing Reagan is one of those books, by the way. Craig Shirley, he is a very big critic of Bill O'Reilly's book, Killing Reagan, because the book falsely claims that Reagan's Alzheimer's was noticeable during his presidency and was suppressed from the public and stemmed, ridiculously enough, from the moment President Reagan was shot in March of 1981. Craig Shirley, who's written several books on Ronald Reagan, says the book is flat as history, but it's questionable why a work of such fiction might find its way to the history section of any reputable bookstore. Let's put it clearly and simply. There is no truth to the notion of Ronald Reagan having Alzheimer's during his presidency. Any piece of information that claims this is either taken out of context or is an outright lie from those who simply ignore history and know nothing about medicine. Ask Ed Meese, President Reagan's closest advisor, what he thought of President Reagan's health. There will be nothing about Alzheimer's. Ask others who work closely with the president. There will be nothing. Ask for doctor's notes or physicals or anything that would have meticulously been kept. What is there? Nothing. That's how much truth there is to the canard. Reagan went to the Bethesda Naval Hospital each year for extensive testing, and each year of his presidency, he passed with flying colors. Following his presidency, he went to the Mayo Clinic for extensive annual exams starting in 1989 and was given an annual test for dementia and mental deterioration. Each year, he passed the exam without showing any signs of dementia beyond normal aging until his disease was diagnosed and revealed in 1994. Craig Shirley, Reagan biographer, continues. Those who want to use Reagan's sad illness, the onset of which did not occur until a full 5 years after leaving office, for their own reasons for political gain, cannot seem to help it. They want to use a man's disease to discredit a president who even those of a different political persuasion, such as former President Barack Obama, have looked up to. Is there any medical evidence, doctor's notes, counseling reports, or any other information indicating that President Reagan suffered mentally in any way at any time in office? No. In fact, Dr. Lawrence Altman, a longtime New York Times medical correspondent, looked for just such evidence and found zero. The doctor who examined the subject in the wake of Ron Reagan's 2011 book suggesting that his father may have shown signs of illness in his presidency wrote, and Ron Reagan, by the way, is a huge flaming lefty. He was on that Air America. How's Air America doing, by the way? Do you ever tune into that station? Anybody ever tune into that Air America?
I don't think it's on the air anymore.
Oh, I can't imagine that.
I think it's off the air.
You think it's off the air, Air America? You think it's been off, taken off?
It's been, yeah. Bankrupt.
Bankrupt, right. Air America, right. The Ron Reagan Show. I think he is on the radio, though. But I couldn't tell you when or where or how. It's probably a podcast. Not that there's anything wrong with podcasts, but Ron Reagan's podcast would be bad. Anyway, so Ron Reagan writes this book throwing his father under the bus. Late father, he's not around to defend himself. And Craig Shirley continues here. He says here, in my extensive interviews with his White House doctors, key aides and others, I found no evidence that Mr. Reagan exhibited signs of dementia as president. No other family member. And not Edmund Morris, the biographer who spent 7 years with Mr. Reagan in the White House. He wrote the Dutch book. Publicly hinted that he showed evidence of Alzheimer's as president. There is not a single mention from a White House staff person, a credible book author, or physician that President Reagan experienced even a single day where he was mentally incapacitated or unable to serve. Among the 66 million documents in the Reagan Library Archives are schedules that track every minute of Reagan's presidency, along with his own handwritten daily diary of his activities. It's clear from the documents that Reagan fully carried out the responsibilities of his office and was actively occupied in that role throughout his two terms. Rumor and innuendo that suggests a story to the contrary do a real disservice to our 40th president and history itself. I'll post a link to this piece, President Reagan Didn't Have Alzheimer's While in Office, by Craig Shirley and John Hubisch. Like I said, Craig Shirley is, I would say, the definitive Reagan biographer. His books are outstanding, and I would recommend them to you in a heartbeat. Anyway, this is the problem right we have right now in this country, which is that we're trying very, very hard to, and by the way, President Trump's going to have a news conference. When he does, we'll take it live for you, so you don't have to go anywhere. The problem is that you have a media and many on the left who, they want to just paint conservatives as crazy because they really do think conservatives are crazy. As I've mentioned, it's not about Alzheimer's or dementia or anything like that, or tweets or anything. It's about a philosophy that they believe if you have, you're nuts. In other words, lefties believe that somebody who believes in limited government doesn't acknowledge that climate change should be legislated and that it's man-made and that we should devote all of our resources to climate change, that you're crazy. You got to screw loose if you don't believe that. That's how they perceive us. It's not a question of disagreeing on policy. It's a question of me, certainly, that I'm nuts because I believe this, that I want government out of my life. Oh, who would keep the kids from getting poisoned by the bad restaurateurs without the Board of Health, they'd say. Yeah, so that's my point here. It's a sad case when they're rewriting history. Present day history is, even though when it comes to the courts, a little bit scarier, because a district judge just struck down, tried to. He didn't strike it down. He's trying to. He's not going to, because a district judge can't strike down a president's executive orders. Try as he might, though, he can't. But a district judge out in shocking San Francisco basically put on hold the president's canceling of DACA and DAPA. DACA, of course, is the kids. DAPA is the parents. And for those people that argue that amnesty with the DACA kids would just be limited to them, they're probably wrong in that sense, because DACA would probably include DAPA, the parents. And then the other question then becomes, what about all their other family members who are here? So the president of the United States, the last president of the United States, Barack Obama, decided to go outside the confines of the legislative process with his pen and his phone and create this DACA and DAPA policy whereby people could stay. It was an executive action. President Trump gets into office, takes executive action to cancel that executive action. And a judge in San Francisco, a district court judge, says, oh, no, you can't do that. You can't use your executive power to cancel out executive power from another president. That's a load of BS, which I'll explain in great detail to you.
Rich Cioli, 3-6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!